Good morning. How many of you have heard the Christmas story about Mary and Joseph and the birth of the baby Jesus? Can I see a show of hands? Has anybody heard that story before? Well, it looks like most all of you have. Have you heard it more than once? Have you heard it more than 10 times? Have you heard it more times than you can't even remember how many times? Okay. Now, I have a group of people here who know a lot about the Christmas story. And so, I'm going to give you a quiz this morning about that story. It's multiple choice, and I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I'm going to give you four possible answers, and I want you to tell me the correct one. Okay, here we go. Here's the first question. Joseph was born in what town? Was it A, Jerusalem, B, Bethlehem, C, Nazareth, or D, Boone's Mill? Where was Joseph born? You're shy, aren't you? Joseph was born in Bethlehem. You remember that Caesar had a decree to have a census taken, and David had to go up to, Joseph had to go up to the city of David to register, because that's where he was born, in Bethlehem. Okay, question number two. Who told Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem? A, was it Caesar? B, was it Herod? C, was it Mary's mom? Or D, no one? Let me hear the answer. You might have to be loud, because not only can I talk, I can't hear either. What's your answer? Caesar. Yeah. Remember, Caesar decreed that there would be a census, and so everybody had to go to their town. So he told them they had to go. Now, question number three. What did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? A, there is no room in the inn. B, I have a stable you can use. C, none of the above. Or D, both of the above. What did you say, D, both of the above? Incorrect. Now I'll tell you why. All of these answers are taken from the second chapter of Luke, but this is what happened. In the script, in the Christmas story, it says that baby Jesus was born in a manger because there was no room to stay elsewhere. It doesn't say an inn. There wasn't even inns in that day and time. There was no such thing. And neither did the innkeeper talk to Mary and Joseph, not in the biblical story. See, these are all stories that we have about Christmas plays and Christmas stories that embellish the story of Jesus. It could have happened. But the scripture doesn't say that. Here's question number four. How did Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem? Was it A, on a colt? Did Mary ride a donkey and Joseph walk? Did they ride in a wagon? Or who knows? What's the answer? What's that? Let me hear it again. That's the right answer. Who knows? The scripture doesn't say that they rode a donkey. Doesn't say they rode anything. Again, our Christmas plays, our Christmas stories show that Mary was riding a donkey. And even our display out here in front is showing that's what's happened. But it doesn't say that in scripture. Who knows how they got there? All right, question number five. The wise men met Jesus in a manger, B, a castle, C, a stable, or D, a house? definitely a house. And this is recorded in the second chapter of Matthew, that it says there that when the wise men saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. Now, it's believed in Scripture that actually the wise men arrived after Jesus' birth, 2 years after he was born. And so they were born in the stable. They had gone back to their home. So the Scripture doesn't say a stable like we often think, that the wise men visited there. It was a house. Here's question number 6. How many angels spoke to the shepherds? Was it A, 3? Was it B, a multitude? Was it C, a whole host? Or D, was it 1? Y'all are really shy now, I can tell. I'm not sure what some people are saying. This is the answer. It's D, 1. In the second chapter of Luke, it said, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, so it was one angel. Now later it said a whole multitude came and spoke to them. Okay, here's the last question, number 7. What song did the angel sing? Joy to the world, A. B, glory to the newborn king. C, glory to God in the highest. Or D, none of the above. Right. D, none of the above. The angels didn't sing. It says that suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. Now, again, in our celebration of Christmas and in our Christmas plays and different things, we have the angels singing to the shepherd. But that's not in the Bible as far as the way the Christmas story is told. I hope y'all don't think I was trying to be rude, trying to catch you in some tricky kind of question. Because it's not easy keeping up all the facts about Christmas. How many of you passed the quiz 100%? I don't think any of you did, but that's okay. Maybe some of you did. I don't really have proof of that. It's not easy keeping all of those questions straight and the facts straight. And it's not easy to get our faith and our feelings lined up with the way it should be for Christmas either. Does Christmas really bring hope and peace and joy and forgiveness? Does it really do that? Last week we focused on the first message in this Christmas series called All I Want for Christmas is Hope. A hope that comes from trusting in Jesus. Our hope is not in what we hope Jesus will do. Our hope needs to be in Jesus himself. We trust him to do what is best. And that may not be what we expect, and that may not be what we desire. Trusting in Jesus to give us what we need is where our hope should be. Lord, I know you could heal everyone in the world. Lord, I know you could bring peace all over the world. I know you could destroy all of the enemies that we have, all of the evil in the world. But even if you do not choose to do that, I will trust in you. That is the hope we have. Jesus will take care of things, even when everything looks like it's falling apart. My hope is in Jesus. Not what I see, not what's going on in the world, but in Jesus. Now, that was last week. This week, this morning, our attention is on peace. Let me ask you a personal question. Are you at peace? Are you at peace about your health? About your finances? With your family? With your job? Are you at peace with your faith? According to most studies, this season, Christmas season, is a season of stress and distress. It's a time of sadness, not of gladness. There's a group called Mental Health America, and they did a survey to find out what anxieties people are having this time of year. And the results showed that the top three stresses that people were having were, well, number one, failing finances. Number two, missing a lost loved one during this time of the year. And number three, having much too much to do during this period of time. Those were the top three stressors. Now maybe you got something else that's going on in your life, and that might be added to this list. This weekend I needed to get some supplies to do some work out here for the scenery setup, and I talked to a man at Lowe's that said he feared that a visit with his doctor this past week had indicated that his cancer had come back, all because he had been stressing out for the past 3 months over a lawsuit on his business. He was showing me some lumps on his side of his face, telling me about some other problems. He was not at peace. The word peace in the New Testament means to join together, to set it one again. It has the idea of gluing something back together, to fix something after it is broken. The meaning of the word peace is to make whole. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words about Jesus. He says it in Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Jesus applies these words about Isaiah to himself. And Jesus was saying in Luke 4, he said, Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. To bind up the broken. That's why Jesus came, was to fix that brokenness. You know what? That is the problem that we face this morning. We're all facing some kind of brokenness in us. Some brokenness in some way. Some of us just hide it better than others. We like to think everything is just fine. Maybe you're hurting and hiding it. And maybe you think we don't see it. But Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, to fix that which is broken. You see, that's where peace is. That's peace when Jesus has come and let you know that everything is going to be okay. Jesus wants us to have peace. Now, there's four ways we can experience peace at Christmas. And here's the first way. We can have peace with God. That's a vertical dimension. Nobody else in the world, nobody else around us. It's just between me and God. Peace with God. It's what I personally know about God and what God has done for me. That's the first way, peace with God. Did you know there's a war going on between God and mankind? People may not realize they are at war with God, but if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, if there's anyone that's not loving God the way they should, if there's anyone not obeying God the way He says that we should, then God considers that person at war with Him. What about you? Are you at war with God? Are you, there's some brokenness in you with God? Or are you at peace? While God loves us and cherishes us, He is filled with indignation because of our sinfulness, because of our disobedience, because we want to live life our way and not His way, because we think we know what's best for us rather than God knows what's best. In Romans 1:18, it says that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Are you living in brokenness or wickedness, but you say that you're okay, that all is well between me and God? If you are, that's a lie, Scripture says. In Romans 5:1, it says, this gives the good news. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what Jesus did, why He came at this Christmas that we celebrate, why He was born in the world. Since we've been justified with faith, we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Because of what He did. What He did on the cross. And you and I can have peace with God. God the Father poured out His wrath, poured out His fury, poured out His indignation upon His Son, upon Jesus, and let Him die in the place where we should have died. He died as a substitute for us. And in Colossians 1:20, it says that Jesus reconciled Himself to all things, making peace through His blood that He shed on the cross. You see, we don't deserve this peace. In fact, what we deserve is actually punishment, eternal punishment, is death. But because of God's great love for you and for me and for mankind, He provided a way for us to be set at one again, to be put together again with God, with the God of all creation. Jesus is our peace. Friends, do you have peace with God today? Or are you broken? Well, the second way Jesus wants us to have peace at Christmas is to have the peace of God. That's something that takes place internally. In order to have the peace of God internally, we must first have the peace with God. We must have surrendered ourselves to God as the God of our life. And then we're able to have this internal peace. The upward dimension must be taken care of first, though, before we can have the inward peace. Shortly before Jesus died, He declared in John 14:27, He said, "Peace I leave you." This is our scripture lesson this morning. "My peace I give you." It's not what the world can give you. It's only what I can give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. You see, this inner peace is a gift from Jesus. And it comes to us as a key element of the fruit of the Spirit. We will experience this peace in proportion to the room that we give the Holy Spirit in our life. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, if you're living in wickedness or disobedience, you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. It's when you have the Holy Spirit living in you that the proportion of that is the proportion of the peace of the fruit of the Spirit that you have in you. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding. From Philippians 4:7, it says, "Do you have peace inside? Are you hurting inside?" God knows when we are hurting. God not only understands when we're hurting, but He knows what to do about it. And He wants to do something about it. He wants to help. That's why at Christmas He sent Christ. Because He loves us. And He knew if Jesus came and took away that sin, that we would be at the possibilities of having what He wanted us to have. Jesus came because He loves us. And He came to love a hurting world. Now here's the third way Jesus wants us to have peace at Christmas. And that is to have peace with others. That's a horizontal peace. We have a vertical peace when we have peace with God. We have an internal peace when we have the peace of God. But God wants us to have then, after we have those, He wants us to have a peace with others. The followers of Jesus find that Jesus' way of life, of living, that's where peace is. If we would just live the way Jesus wants us to live, the way He lived, we would have this peace. So now we find that the Scripture teaches over and over that we must not only seek the peace with God and have the peace of God and have the peace with others, but that at the same time that we need to make peace with others. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." I find it interesting that Jesus didn't tell us to be peacekeepers, but instead He said for us to be peacemakers. And this could be translated as peace workers. It takes effort to bring conflict to an end. If you have a brokenness with someone, if you have a problem with someone in which you are not at peace with them, it takes a lot of work sometimes to reconcile that brokenness. When we work at resolving conflict, we're doing, though, what God calls us to do. We're doing what God does. We're doing what God wants us to do. He's called us to make peace when we're involved in a conflict. In Romans 14:19, it lays out that responsibility. And here's what it says. Listen. "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Is there anyone you need to make things right with? Anyone you need to become again one with? Maybe a conflict or bitterness has gone down deep in your life. And Jesus says this morning, it's time to do something about that. It's time to let it go. If you want peace, you have to give peace to others that you're in conflict with. Here's the fourth and final way Jesus wants us to have peace at Christmas. And that is to have peace for others. That means it's a proclamation. It's a proclaiming of the peace of the gospel. The only way for people to have peace with God and to have peace inside and to have peace with others is for people like us, people who love Jesus, people who follow Jesus, people who know Jesus, to tell them. Tell them about the good news, about the gospel of peace, about why Jesus came at Christmas. Peter declares in Acts 10:36, he says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, that he's the Lord of all." We need to share peace with others this Christmas. I guess today, that's all I want for Christmas. Today is peace. God's peace. The peace that Jesus can give. I want to end this message with one last quiz question for you. Here's the question. How serious are you about wanting the peace of Christmas that Jesus wants you to have? A, I'm not sure. B, I want to learn more about it. C, I'm ready and willing to ask the Prince of Peace to fill my life with his peace. Or D, I want it all. I want peace with God today. Would you pray with me? Lord, we have a question to answer this morning. And that is, do we want your peace? Do we want the peace that you want us to have? Are we serious about wanting what you have spoken to us about this morning? Oh God, I just pray that each of us and our hearts will have our faith look up to you this morning and say, yes, Lord, that's what we want. All I want for Christmas today is your peace. And I'm willing to come and ask Jesus to forgive me, to cleanse me, to restore me, and to give me that peace. And I ask for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.